The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick, and you're listening to Matt Slick Live. Let's see, today's date for the podcasters is April 25th, 2022. If you want to give me a call, we have five open lines, 877-207-2276. Okay, let's see. So, Friday I had a debate, and I didn't prep for the debate at all. And the reason is because I forgot I had a debate. And so, someone, Laura, said, "Hey, you ready for the debate tonight? You're going to have a what debate?" So I go, "Oh, that's right, it's scheduled." And it was on, there's a doctrine of the Trinity. The Bible teaches the doctrine of the Trinity. And so I had a discussion with this guy. And, you know, I've gone over a lot of this stuff before. And so, you know, I understood. And so let's see. Trinity versus oneness is what it was. And it was a good, I thought it was a good discussion. I thought the opponent didn't present his position very well. I always, you know, of course I'm biased, okay? But, you know, if any of you heard the debate, watched it, I'd be interested in your feedback. One thing that was interesting, I thought, that my opponent said, which floored me, he said, "Well, Jesus was not a man." You know, it's one of those things you just stop, you know, and you're staring, you're like, "What? He was not a man?" No, he was not. I said, "So wait a minute. So you're telling me Jesus was not a man?" That's right. Did he live? Yes. Did he breathe? Yes. But he wasn't a man. Even though he's alive and he's breathing. That's correct. You know, and you're like, wow, okay. What do you do with that? You know, I don't get silenced very often. But sometimes there's just things where you just stare into the air. It's like, what do you do with that? And so I quoted a verse, 1 Timothy 2:5. There's one mediator between the man, between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. I said, "So there he's a man." And he goes, "Notice what it says. It says the Christ is a man." And I said, I'm going, it says the you know, Christ Jesus, the man. Yes, he goes, "See, it says Christ." Yes, it also says Jesus. He goes, "No, it's the Christ that was man." I mean, it was incredible. You know, it's just like the reasoning was so bad. And I said, "Look, this Christ just means the anointing. Jesus is the name of the man." And he goes, "No, it's Christ who's the man, not Jesus." I'm like, just, okay. You know, so sometimes, you know, if you think about it, people's logic is just so inanely bad that it's like they're given over to just lame-osity. You know, it's just like, are you kidding me? How do you come up with that? And so I have actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I have on CARM a dictionary, but we call it the Slictionary. And so, you know, to blurify is to use big words, citations, in order to make things unclear. Denialation, the state of willing ignorance in the face of truth. A lot of these fun words are made up. Densification, the practice of failing to think clearly due to increased cerebral confusion while attempting to put down what you really don't understand. Let's see, dodgification, the repeated practice of using useless statements in an attempt to avoid challenging truth made against an assertion. Let's see, flabbergast or irritate, to say something that flabbergasts someone while also irritating them. That's it's hard to even pronounce, flabbergastriorate. And then to heresify, to make something heretical, to distort the truth so much that it becomes a false teaching. It's fun. I made up these words. And to ramblify, the practice of speaking about nothing, switching topics and not focusing in order to sound competent without really saying anything, to ramblify. Let's see. Slickification. Slickification, the process by which a person is converted to Matt Slick's theology and desire to attack heresy. So, oh, I got a kick out of that. Stubbornization, to refuse to learn, be corrected, or adjust a position due to an idolatrous fixation on an opinion. I actually encountered that on Saturday. I was talking to somebody who was an anti-reform, rabid anti-reform guy. And I said, no, irresistible grace is not that you can't resist God's graciousness and things like that. It's that at the point of regeneration, the act of regeneration, that at that point you can't resist God's grace, the grace of regeneration. And it took, 14 times for me to get him to say, can you repeat what I said? Because he wouldn't recognize it. I'm like, what is going on? And anyway, so there's a bunch of things like that called the Slictionary. You just go to carnival.org/Slictionary, and you can get some more stupid words that we made up for fun. Oh, man, I enjoyed that. I need to hear that. That was fun. Let's just jump on the line. Let's get to Amore from North Carolina. Amore, welcome. Or Amore, I guess. Oh, yeah, welcome. Hey, is that your name, Amore?
Yeah. No.
No, just Amore?
Yes, Amore.
Because... if it was Amore, I was going to ask you, what was your favorite fish? It'd be a moray eel, but... What's that? Go ahead.
I'm listening what you're saying, and on your intro, I'm laughing about
the Slictionary. Yeah, it's a lot of stupid stuff in there. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, Matt, good to hear from you. It's not my first time to call you. I listen to you all the time, but I straight to the point because I know you have a lot of callers too. I've been listening to a lot to R.C. Sproul. That's mm-hmm. one of my favorite. I'm listening a lot. And listening to this one of his topic of justification by faith alone, which I really like listening to that many times. And during the Council of Trent, and I'm sure you're very familiar with this thing, I'm sure, but, of course, Council of Trent, during the Reformation, the Roman Catholic went to respond to Luther and all those other guys, and mm-hmm. they stick to it that you still have to have faith plus work and all this indulgence and all this and all this thing. Why mm-hmm. do you? And they did it for 1645, almost 20 years. They made in Trent, Trino, Italy, and. What, and up to today, they stick to that faith plus work and et cetera and all those things. Why do you think they stick to that? Are the Pope or the high priests they ignorant or they just don't know what the Bible? They're not educated. I'm sure.
It's simple. They don't use the Scripture as a final authority. It's as simple as that. If the Scripture was the final authority, they would subject everything to the Scripture, and then they wouldn't be praying to Mary, they wouldn't believe in these Mary apparitions, they wouldn't believe in some papacy, they wouldn't believe in authority of priests and the Eucharist stuff. They would only if they only believe in the Scriptures and not tradition also. And that's why they have so many false doctrines. Simple.
What I'm trying to kind of understand, and you can explain to me, but I mean, what are they thinking? Are they just refusing the Scripture, the Sola Scriptura, Sola Fide?
It comes down to this. They do not hold the Scriptures as the final authority. They hold their own church as equal to Scripture, and the church, the Catholic Church, interprets Scripture, so the church is the final authority. And that's it. So, in that, they are idolatrous, because idolatry is giving to the created thing which belongs to God. And instead of giving the Scriptures, which from God, as the final authority, they're doing it for man's tradition. They're idolaters.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I like what artist was saying about that back in the day, and even today I got some relatives who are still Roman Catholic. you can buy indulgence, you can buy some, you can buy alms to the older saint and all this thing.
Yep.
I said, what are they thinking? Are they not using the same Bible?
Well, they use the same Bible, but what I do with Catholics sometimes when I'm talking to them, and we're having discussions after a half hour to an hour of going back and forth, I say, show me scripture. And they'll say, well, the church fathers say, and Pope so-and-so says. And then after a while, what I'll do is I'll actually ask them. I'll say, could you do me a favor? And could you look under your feet? And they go, what are you talking about? Just under your feet. You got shoes on or whatever? And they go, yeah. What's under your feet? And they'll say, well, you know, it's the rug. And I say, oh, I thought the Bible would be under your feet. I try and get them to see that they're trampling the Word of God under their feet in order to make their doctrines true. In fact, when I was having a discussion on Discord on Saturday, a four-hour discussion teaching biblical theology, and I went through Scripture, and I mean, I really went through Scripture, and there were Catholics in there saying, Matt's a heretic. And they were saying, the church fathers don't teach this. And it's the same thing. They don't look at God's word. They look at another shepherd. Excuse me. That's what they're doing. And so that's why they don't believe the word of God. Okay?
Yeah, and I really admire you, Matt. Continue what you're doing. What do you think about, by the way, I let you go. I know a lot of people like, but I like police. He's also with the same with RC and some other under debate. John, what's his name? The one in John MacArthur. You know, you hear that?
Yeah,
guy?
He's great. John MacArthur. Yeah, he's great.
Oh, yeah, he's great, man. Like mm-hmm. you, old man. Woo, he's tearing it up. John MacArthur. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But anyway, Matt, I like listening to you. I like when I scroll, like the first apologetic, I think about you. First apologetic, if you want to say that way, is the Apostle Paul. He's already correcting all the false belief back in the days and. Even today, still going on, and you are one of in the artist prescribed John MacArthur. He's one of the guy I like in your faction. Uh-huh. He'll fight for you, and I will include you on that. You, if you are in a war, I want you to be in the foxhole with me. you're fighting with the faith, so I include you one of that.
Well, that's high praise, and thank you, and by God's grace, I'm able to do what I do and keep doing it. And that's what it is.
Matt, I listen to you all the, every day, and. God bless you, and keep doing what you're doing. I pray for you every day.
Well, thank you very much. We need those prayers, and appreciate it. All right.
Have a nice day. Thank you for taking my call. Thank you.
All right, man. God bless.
God bless you. All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, that's cool. All right. Okay, so we have three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to, I guess, Blanca from Utah. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm great. So, Matt, I have a question for you. So, I go to a Baptist church. It's going to get ready to be moved to another area. But I got married in this Baptist church. So it turns out that the person that I married, he had a really bad drug problem and drinking problem. It kind of started off small, but then it kind of progressed into more and more. So, being that I got married, so I think it was like...
Can you hold on, Blanca? Sorry, we got a break. And I want to hear you, but we just got to wait till the break's over, okay? Can you hold on? And we'll continue after the break. Sorry about that. Hey, folks, we have two open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. And let's get back to Blanca from Utah. Welcome. Are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay. All right. So the guy you married has drug and alcohol problem. That's increasing, right?
Yeah. And
okay.
And so my question is, so I went back to the church. It's an independent Baptist church.
All right.
So they said that they're not really affiliated with the Baptist, but they're like independent. So I'm not really sure what that is. So I went back to the church, and I asked how I could get a divorce.
How do you get a divorce?
So,
wait.
Yes, how I could get...
You want a divorce. For what reason?
Well, so this has kind of been like a off and on kind of situation with his drug habit. But the problem is that he leaves. So he will take off, like, out of state, and he'll just leave. And then he'll come back. And then I get back with him because I'm thinking that that's the right thing to do. I was kind of looking in the Bible to see if you know, what would be the ground. So I went to the church because what happened was
you went to church. Yes,
left me like about 5 times.
He what?
And so off and on.
He what? Wait.
He
what?
Leaving.
Did see he slapped
he
left, you?
He leaves me. Leave me. Like he left.
Oh, he left. Okay. All right.
Yeah, so he's not like violent or anything like that, but he's like a habitual liar, and then he's been with other women. And
Okay. So I've got advice for you then.
Okay.
What you need to do is you need to go to the elders of your church. You need to have a sit down with them, and you need to keep a record of everything you're doing. You need to have a journal. You need to have it so you can't lose this journal. And you just put dates. On this date, I talked to so-and-so about this issue. And even if you say, you know, Matt Slick on the radio, you know, he recommended I go to the elders of the church. You know, on this date, I went to the elders of the church. I asked them for a meeting. You know, on this date, we had a meeting. In the meeting, I talked about this. And you write things out like this. There's a reason. I'll tell you why in a minute. You need to also put a history of the things that you've done in order to work with your husband and try and reconcile. And then you need to also list the problems, best dates you've got. Just say the best of your remembrance, this is it. Because this can become a legal document. And one of the reasons I'm telling you to do this is you need to be involved with the elders because the elders need to take over this issue. Not me. They need to take it over. Now, if he's committed adultery, you have grounds for divorce. And this needs to be written down. But this document can become legal, a legal document that can be used in the divorce court if you need it. But also, for later on, should you ever want to get married again, you'll have documentation along with the elders and the whole bit that you went through as you sought reconciliation. But at some point, they recommended that it's okay to get a divorce because of XYZ. And that's why you need to do that.
Oh. Well, they gave me the paper, Matt. So they gave me a divorce paper and two people signed it and they put it like in regards to like abandonment.
Okay. So the biblical grounds for divorce is abandonment and adultery. So if he's done either one or both, you have grounds for divorce, not the obligation of divorce. So at this point, you have that freedom to be able to do that if he's done that. If you, however, have forgiven him and you've reconciled and then you want to go back on it, that's a problem because you've already forgiven. If he is unrepentant and he keeps doing it, you have grounds of divorce, of course. But I'm trying to tell you, you need to keep this journal. You need to do this because if you ever have to go before any other elders, you ever want to get married again, let's say to God, by his great mercy, grants you a good guy, and he's a godly man, and they say, well, you've been divorced? Yes. Huh. Well, what's the occasion of the divorce? And you whip out this document, or this booklet, or whatever it is, and say, look, here it is, and you have copies of this thing. You know, that's why I would say do it online and where you can keep it. You know, they have different online storage things, and you print it up, and you have a couple of copies around the house. That kind of a thing, where if you ever need it in 5 years, you got this document, it will be a real help for you. It also documents what the issue is, and the elders need to, you know, if they can write in it on their own, or they sign it, or whatever it is, so that it's all above board. All biblical. Okay? I'm trying to watch out for you. Okay?
I just didn't know how many times I have to forgive him.
70 times 7. 70 times 7.
And I did it. But he's good. doing it. And
then you need...
Matt, he keeps leaving. And now I'm scared that he could be dead somewhere because I haven't heard from him.
Okay, what I was going to say is 70 times 7. But there comes a point when you're free to divorce. because he has broken his covenant and continues to break it. You've sought reconciliation. You've sought it on your own. You sought it with the help of the elders. And if they recommend, okay, it's time to get a divorce, then fine. Okay? Then you do that.
Okay.
Keep the documentation.
I'm so worried.
No,
okay.
You'll be okay.
I will.
Just
yeah,
so
I'm
you know,
so worried, Matt, like...
just so you know, God issued a writ of divorce against Israel. Okay? Divorce is not automatically a sin. I know a lot of people think it is, but it's not. Okay?
Well,
not
you know what, Matt? My ex-husband, he kept saying, well, the Bible...
Wait a minute. Wait. You said ex-husband. You were married before this?
Well, no, the same man that I'm talking about. No, they gave me a divorce.
Okay. Wait. Wait, are you married to him right now? Yes or no? Are you married to him right now? Are you divorced?
No, so I went and got the papers. Yes, they gave me the papers.
Blanca.
But he said that's not a good paper.
Blanca.
God says we have to be together to die.
Blanca. I'm asking you a question. Are you legally divorced?
Yes,
just a question.
Yes, their paper says I am.
Okay.
I mean,
Hold on. Okay. I'm trying to find out something very specific. You need to find out if you're divorced legally. You need to find this out. If the elders gave you papers, that's just papers. I don't know what those papers are. You sign them. You have to be filed. What's the legality? You need to find out. Because if you're not...
Oh my God, and I've never filed. I never
Blanca,
even went and reported.
Blanca. Okay. You need to find out. You need to talk to these elders. You need to get this situated. Furthermore, if it's such that you are not divorced right now, you have no business and no right to date anybody else either. Okay, this is important. Okay, I'm not getting on you, but you got to find out. Just because you signed something and it's on your desk, so to speak, doesn't mean it's all legal. I don't know what papers they gave you. You got to find out.
Well, okay. The marriage paper that they gave me was a piece of paper too.
Okay.
They never filed it with the
Blanca.
Courts, and I've never have did either.
Blanca.
They said it's a covenant marriage.
Blanca, you need to make sure you're legally divorced. Okay? Find out. All right?
Okay, got it.
Okay, then let me know. Okay.
Okay.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
All right.
Thank you. God bless.
Bye.
Okay. Ooh, interesting. Hey, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right. Welcome back. Two open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's see if Jim from North Carolina is still on the air. Jim, welcome. You're on the air, buddy.
Yeah. Hey, Matt. I'm going to try to be as calm as I can about this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that's occurring in our community at an elementary school targeting first to sixth graders.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called the... Satanic Temple After School Satan Club.
Mm-hmm.
And they're following locations or schools where they, as another group called the Child Evangelism Fellowship, wherever they have good news clubs. And I believe the point of it is either to offset against Christianity, or to have people become so enraged that they end up kicking the Christian-oriented clubs out of the schools altogether.
Okay. You want some advice?
This is, oh, goodness, Matt, I tell you, I have so many thoughts in my mind. I know I don't want to start rambling because then you'll start going, do you have a question?
Well, this is not so, do I have a question, comment. This is something that's worth discussing. I'm with you.
This is serious daggone business, and okay. There's going to be a door opened. My wife's in the school system. Fortunately, she's getting ready to retire. She's not at this school. She's in a high school. She said that she would not walk into a school that had this take place at the school because of the potential door that would open within that school that she could not
be
in the same location at.
Let's talk.
Yeah, thank you, Matt.
All right, I have a principle that I've said, just an opinion. A lot of times Christians will resign from something because in protest, and because their Christian values, they're going to resign, and then the Christian presence is now gone, and it's filled by unbelievers. I've always had a problem with that. I think Christians need to stay in the fight and fight. Not in every single instance. You got to make your own choice, and there's always variables. But I think we Christians need to say, okay, let's just use this as a hypothetical. I'm not saying your wife should or shouldn't do anything. I'm just saying, hypothetically, not so much a hypothetical anymore. There's a group that does Satanism, and there's a Christian group. All right. Now, Satanism will ultimately fall on its own. Now, what they're trying to do is counter the biblical gospel. If the biblical gospel is present, then the darkness also will work against it. So what you have to do as a Christian is you get your people and you start praying against them. And you can pray imprecation. And an imprecation is a prayer of destruction and harm upon them. They are enemies.
Like the Psalms.
Yes, like the Psalms. Call them precatory Psalms. You can go to Psalm 82, for example. It's an imprecatory psalm. Nevertheless, you will die like men, you know. And then I forget there's other psalms. So I have it on Carm and precatory psalms listed in the mouth. And there's comments where, like, God, wipe them out. And so, you know, you could pray, Lord, we pray for their salvation and their conversion. But, Lord, aside from that, take care of them. And you have people pray this. Now, they'll say, no, you got to turn the other cheek. It's a blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer, Jesus. You know, lay down, do nothing. No. I would pray an imprecation upon them, and I would pray also for their salvation.
Now, fortunately, my wife is retiring, so that's already been in place.
Okay. Right.
But there's a lot of concern within the community at our church, people that I know. But this club is saying proselytization is not our goal, and we're not interested in converting children to Satanism. After school, Satan clubs will focus on free inquiry and rationalism, the scientific basis for which we know what we know about the world around us.
Okay.
And
let me continue what you need to do.
Yeah.
Let me continue, because I know what you're talking about. Okay, I'm familiar with this. This is the first step.
Yeah,
you guys have got to get to a community, and you got to be praying, and you have to have several people praying, and a group of people praying on a regular basis. They need to covenant and commit to doing this on a regular basis. That's one thing. The other thing that needs to be done is you have to equip the Christians there. Now, when the atheists say what you say, rational stuff, let me tell you, they are not rational. I would love to debate them. I'd love to have a debate with them. They want to talk about rationality? I'll clean their clocks. Not that I'm saying I'm great. I'm saying they don't have an ultimate standard of rationality from which they can then make their statements. They cannot defend those statements as being true. They're going to rip things out of Scripture and things like that. So you can defeat that by simply equipping the believers. That's what you need to do.
Yeah, and so the parents of the Good News Club or similar type clubs, and by the way, I looked at the statement of faith of the Good News Club, the organizers for that, and it's good statement of faith. I looked at it closely. Yeah. Salvation by faith, faith alone. Definitely stated.
Good.
And so what they're doing is they're targeting this group. I agree. The people that are supporting that then need to step up and be prepared because they're targeting first graders to sixth graders who will not have the ability to push back with their classmates who may end up being somehow interested in this group. But
well, if we were off the air, I would give you some other suggestions.
What?
If we were off the air, we could have some other discussions.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But as far as what you do, you have to be praying. And you can't quit. The Christians can't resign and go away and take their ball and go home because something didn't work out the way they want. This is the way of the devil. It's the way of evil. The Christians need to rise up within the situation, and they need to equip the Christians. They just need to pray and ask God to open up doors. That's what needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, then I'll get with our church community and speak with them about this and get our church praying. My Sunday school class, we did pray on Sunday morning. And
he's been praying regularly.
It had just come up in the past week. And anyway, I won't repeat. I tend to verbally process, so I'll...
That's okay.
I'll try not to repeat.
Well, that's okay.
I'm upset.
Yes, I got you. But if you want, I'd be glad to have a phone meeting with some of the parents, and we can discuss these things and strategize and the whole bit. And the commitment of prayer needs to come in, not only for salvation, but all for imprecation also. And then you need to equip the children that are there. Parents need to be involved. Unfortunately, what happens is a lot of times parents think that the clergy is supposed to take care of everything. They just go on Sunday mornings, pay a tithe, they're done. No. They've got to equip their Christian children, and there's ways to do that. And they don't have to teach them about Satanism. That might make them curious. You just find out where they're at, what's going on, and you prepare them. And then you can see if you can have meetings on campus. You can see if it's after school, you have pastors go in and teach. And people can start saying, what about this other club? Perfect example to say, well, this is who it is. Look how bad it is. You go to the scriptures, this is what he does. And they're trying to make it look good. Are you kidding me? It's a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity. Okay?
Well, I think I said enough, because if I say more about what the frequently asked questions for the Satan Club, then that means I'm giving out information that I really don't want to go over their ways. So I'm going to not
speak
more about...
Well, I'm quite familiar with it.
Doing.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it.
Okay, good. Yeah, because I was going to send you links and the like.
Send them.
For both this send organization them. And the organization which they're following to try to get kicked out of the schools. And
they want, yeah.
And it's funny. If you look at the symbol, though, if you look at the symbol that the Satanic Temple uses, it looks like one eye is damaged compared to the other eye, and it looks like maybe an arm is withered.
Yes, because it's a symbol of the Antichrist. I forgot out of the Old Testament which exact verse, but the Antichrist will have a withered eye and a withered arm.
Yep.
And
his desire
will not be for women.
Yep. I got that.
Mm-hmm. All right. I've written on
that's
who's the Antichrist
me.
On car.
I've vented. I'm just hot as blue blazes right now about this and reading through it.
Okay, look.
And I got...
Contact me, okay? If you need help, after the show or whatever, parents want to get together, what do we do? I'll come in with a phone call, on speakerphone. Let's talk. Okay?
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it very much.
I'm serious. I'm not kidding.
I got to calm down.
But you have righteous indignation.
I know.
Now it's time, I would recommend you do, is get an outline and write down the things that you need to do. In fact, I need to write an article on this. What can be done? Okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Other callers, I'm sure, so go on ahead.
We do.
And,
we do.
But I'm going to try to calm down for a sec and get online, get back into chat, and enjoy... not as eloquent as Vicky and others when they speak, but that's okay.
Vicky's eloquent? Wow, man, that's really high praise.
That's what I hear.
That's what she says. Well, she's kind of a bird brain.
Yeah, I
don't get that. That's because she raised her. She does stuff with hawks, folks. That's it's an inside joke.
She's a falconer. Yeah.
Yeah, she's a falconer.
All right, I'm going to
say that.
Yeah, I'm going to. Okay, take care. Thank you.
All right,
I may go ahead and send an email, I think, first. And I'm going to talk it up with the people within Sunday school, with the church.
Yes.
I'm going to also...
And the pastors and the elders. Absolutely.
Yeah, you got...
Okay, but here's the news. We've got to go.
Okay, buddy.
All right, man. God bless.
Yeah, I know. I got it. Appreciate it.
Okay. Hey, folks, two open lines. We'll be right back after these messages. Give me a call. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's see if we can get to Jose from Texas. Jose, welcome. You're on the air, buddy.
Hello. Hello, Matt. How's it going?
Yeah. Sorry for the long wait, but boy, I tell you, busy day. So what do you got, man?
Okay. Yeah, hey, so I heard a message want only like that sort of thing. And some about the lukewarm Revelation 3:14. Okay. My question is, I don't think it's just straight and simple. Is it possible for a Christian, a true believer, to go in that state of lukewarm? And
yes.
What does it mean by Jesus saying that he will spit them out? Does that necessarily mean that they'll be they'll lose their salvation, I guess?
No, you can't lose your salvation. That's John 10:27-28, John 6:37-40, 1 John 2:19, and etc. But it's about Revelation 3 is about Laodicea, and just so you know, hey, I've been there. I've been in Laodicea, walked through the ruins. It's awesome. That's just a brag, you know. But it's not talking here about this issue because about losing your salvation. It's to the church, to a group of people. And they're going to remove the candlestick. Their anointing as a group will be removed. There were streams there that were hot springs and that were cold. And sometimes it would mingle, and they weren't good for either one. And so the idea is look, own up and live according to what you're supposed to live. And if you don't, we're going to remove the lampstand and stuff. So what you do is buy gold refined by fire to become white garments because you're weak, because you're lukewarm. You're not standing for the Lord. Make that choice. Do it. And that's what he's saying, okay?
Okay, so this has nothing to do with individual salvation, correct?
Well, ultimately, yes, because it's individuals who end up getting saved, but he's talking to the church at Laodicea. Every time I think of the word Laodicea, I think of me walking down the main street and the pillars and the ruins and everything. That's right there in Laodicea. And I can see I can still remember the outlines in the stones of the homes that people lived in and that they were excavated. Yeah, and there was a big area walked over in plexiglass so you could look down into stuff. So it was an actual community of all kinds of people. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. And so what he's saying is, because look, you need to, you know, Laodicea, it's the church of that group. It's that people there. Now, you know, a church can have lukewarm people, hot people, and cold people. It can have people who are not believers in it as a church as a whole. It doesn't say they're saved. So Paul will often write, and John will too, in the context of unbelievers and believers mixed. And so how is he going to address it? You better get it together. You better repent. You better make sure you're in Christ. Well, that means you can lose your salvation. It doesn't say that. You see?
Okay. Well, thank you for clarifying that point. Because, yeah, it's very popular in the Spanish area, by the way.
In the what area?
In the Spanish area. Like
really?
In the Spanish preaching. Where they use a lot to, this verse to you know, to prove that you can lose your salvation if you don't, I guess, in a way, say, if you don't work yourself out, I guess, your salvation.
Espero yo que puedo hablar español suficiente para enseñar la verdad con la gente.
It should be nice, man. It would be very nice. I mean, I think your Spanish is very good. I think you probably, I watched you last time. You had with Luis Carlos Reyes. I'm not seeing you getting any no moderators. You did pretty good.
Well, there's a lot of concepts I can't speak and say, but I do know someone who speaks Spanish very well, Carlos. He's in Barranquilla, and él sabe todo. Él puede enseñar toda la mente en ese subject. Okay?
Okay.
Si quieres encontrar él. All you got to do is just email him, carlos@carm.org. And one of the things I've been thinking about is just spending 2 months with him. I'd like to have him come here, but he can't. And spend 2 months with me so I can get fluent in Spanish, so I can learn the theological terms and how to say all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
But so I can get in there and teach in Spanish, which is something I want to do. But nevertheless, there are a lot of competent people who speak Spanish. You speak Spanish, obviously, and you can learn these things easily and start teaching them. But Carlos can do it too.
Yeah, I refer a lot to your website. It's been a blessing. So,
okay. You know about Mia Peak.
I actually I was just going through your website and I was able to see. And anyways, I shared that with my Spanish speaking friends and
good.
They like it because there's a lot of good material. Trinity table, too.
That's so useful. Yeah, have him contact Carlos. Carlos is great. He's awesome. I was in Barranquilla years ago with him. I was speaking in English. He had to interpret because my Spanish is 70% there. I think 60-70%, not quite enough to be able to be.
Yeah, like at 90, Spanish can be very. Sometimes the way they pronounce it, and I don't think you have an accent. You're pretty good. Is able to understand. I've heard people, that they just can't get it, and there's nothing wrong with them, but they just can't get it. But I think you, man, you got it. It just don't even seem like you have an accent.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah. But I was saying, as I was listening to Carlos teach, and I could understand most of what he was saying, and I'm like, dude, that guy knows his stuff. So he's a great guy, another good contact. And also there's a guy in Los Angeles. He's a cop, friend of mine, and he's fluent in both languages. He teaches theology, too. I can put you in contact with him.
Okay.
Carmen.org, yeah. Yeah, Matt. Yeah. Just info@carmen.org. And si yo puedo ayudar, entonces yo quiero ayudar. Okay.
Yeah, muy bien, Matt. Yeah, of course.
All right. Okay, buddy.
All right. All right. Have a good one.
You too, man. God bless. All right. Cool. All right. Let's try Norman from North Carolina. By 34 minutes, you've been on a long time. I think it's a new record. You still there?
Yeah, but very entertaining. The phone call's ahead of me, so very good.
Okay.
Yeah. You're very patient with your caller. So my question is, probably about 11 years ago, somebody challenged me and said that the virgin birth actually originated in Greek mythology. And I didn't have an answer for it at the time, which, of course, that always bothers me whenever I don't have an answer to an objection to the Christian faith. But I kind of forgot about it. And then I heard it again on Renewing Your Mind, the R.C. Sproul program recently, not too long ago. And I remember him saying that has been brought up, and he didn't really refute it in his dialogue.
Okay.
So I thought I'd better call you and get your take on what is the proper response to that, and what's the reference material that I can use to defend the response?
Reference material not so much familiar with. However, what I'd recommend you do is look up stuff like astrology. Believe it or not, there are books written that deal with the issue of the gospel in the stars, written from a Jewish perspective way before the time of Christ. And it's a Jewish astrological system where the 12 zodiacs actually present the gospel. And then it was secularized and modernized and moved away from it. It's just a weird kind of a thing. And it actually talks about a virgin birth from the ancient Jewish system of how they analyzed the stars. Virgo, virgin. It comes from this old Jewish system that got inculcated and moved into Christian thought and Greek thought from before the time of Greek thought. That's why I'm saying that, okay? One of the mistakes that they'll make is to say that if it came before, therefore what came after it is what borrowed. But Greek thought also had many gods. But if you go to ancient Chinese stuff, look up ancient Chinese characters gospel. Just look up ancient Chinese characters gospel or Christianity. You will see lots of sites that talk about ancient Chinese symbols. It goes back 6,000 years. That's like 4,000, 3,000 before Greek theology. And it talks monotheism. The symbol for sin is a tree with a snake in it. The symbol for boat is a mouth with a number eight and a boat. Eight mouths, eight souls, eight people in Noah's Ark. It goes on like this. Justification is something to do with, something broken over a person. Anyway, you can see. So the point is that these things are verifiable from way before Greek theology. Second, let's just say there is a connection. That Greeks did teach a virgin birth as well as Christianity. So, it doesn't mean one borrowed from the other.
Right.
Furthermore, if you go to Isaiah 7:14, it says, a virgin will be with child. When they translated the word Alma into the Septuagint at 250 BC, they used the Greek word Parthenon, which means virgin. The Jews understood. That's 600 BC. That's before Greek theology also. Okay?
Yeah, that was one of my questions for you. Isaiah, I thought that was before Greek mythology.
Yeah. From what I understand. So there's evidence right there. There's all kinds of stuff you can use. And plus, it opens up doors for other conversations with the gospel and the stars. It sounds weird, but it's actually there. It's actually documented that the Jews actually had this in their astrology, as not astronomy, is actually what it is. They looked at it. They saw these patterns because the stars show the glory of God. And they looked and they said, this is what this is. And there's books out on it. And then there's books out on the ancient Chinese stuff as well.
Are you saying that in the ancient Jewish zodiac, they saw the virgin birth?
Yes.
The virgin birth?
Yes.
Really?
You can get the book, The Gospel in the Stars, by Joseph Seiss, S-E-I-S-S.
Okay.
Thanks, Jimmy, in the chat. It's one of the things I need to do. It's a research project I want to do and collect information to provide it. I'm swamped. I'm doing NAR stuff right now. But there's plenty of evidence to counter that, those claims.
But Isaiah's reference predates Greek too as well, right?
Well, let's see. If we were to go and say, what are the dates of Greek culture, ancient Greek culture? Let's see, ancient Greek culture, right? Then, 776 B.C., is one of the things. I'm just looking at numbers that comes up.
Yeah.
So that's, Isaiah was written around 600 BC. How far was the Greek culture? Was it extending over there to Israel already? Has it been in contact?
Yeah.
So, the people who say these things don't do their homework. They don't. Okay, I'm telling you, they don't.
Right, that's what I'm trying to do. Next time I get that objection, I want to be ready.
That's right. First Olympic Games at 776 B.C., Homer's Iliad, 750 B.C., so about 100 years before. So they could say, well, it was therefore borrowed. And then you can ask them, show me how it was borrowed and show me where it was. Show me. And then you want to trap them with the issue of, you entrap them. Oh, so what comes before? It means that what followed came, and they'll say yes. Then you got them. Then you whip out the stuff on the Jewish astronomy and the ancient Chinese culture the symbols. Say, I'm sorry, from your own wording, now that means the Greeks borrowed from them.
Yeah.
And the virgin birth is in that.
Good.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Nice talking to you.
All right, man. You got to be quick and slick. It takes a lot of work, though. Okay, buddy. Okay, God bless. Now, Alberto, hey, buddy, we're sorry. We're out of time, man. Sorry for waiting for so long. Call back tomorrow, okay? Hey, there's the music, folks. We are out of time. May the Lord bless you, and by His grace, we'll be back on here tomorrow. I hope you enjoyed the show, and by His grace, we'll talk to you then. See you. Have a good evening. God bless. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.